Well, thanks for having me. It's just so amazing to see. The last time I was here, you were in the hall across the way there. This is much better. And so I love it. This is a really, really, really cool. So well done to the Lord for providing. This morning's going to be stretching, I think, for some of us. Obviously, I'm English, but I was born in Pretoria. So actually, deep down inside, I'm actually very Afrikaans. And then what happened was, We moved to Durban when I was 3, and then I grew up in Durban, and they stole my Afrikaansness out of me. And so, I just wanted to say that. I can understand it, I can't speak it. The last time I was in Namibia, I tried to preach in Afrikaans, and literally they stopped me and said, please, you're wrecking our language, don't do that. So since then, I've got a bit of a phobia in trying. I don't want to preach for long today. I want to just set a foundation because that's a good thing to do. And basing what we want to say on the Bible. And then we're going to let people loose and just see what God does in them. And so I want to just draw our attention to prayer and prophecy. And I know that if you are in social media networks, there's a lot of controversy around some prophetic guys that have not done well in the world. And I believe that the prophetic gift is actually being targeted by the devil to suppress it, because prophecy is actually really important. And so just because some people are not doing it well doesn't mean we have to throw all prophetic out. And that's what the devil does. He takes what God has created. He's always done this. He perverts it ever so slightly. And he throws it into the world, and then people go, oh, we don't want to be Christians because look at these guys. And if you think about the same thing with sex, relationships, sex is a really good thing. In marriage, as soon as it's outside of marriage, it's a really bad thing. So he takes all the good things, and he ever so slightly twists them, and then people become resistant to them. And so prayer is a two-way communication between God and man. So if you're praying well, sorry, I can't see you behind the pillar, so I'll come out and then I'll come back in. Just so we can make eye contact. So if you're praying people, it means that you're having a conversation with the Lord, right? Praying isn't just asking God for things. It's God, here I am, speak to me. It's this two-way communication. Yes, we do ask for God some things, but often I'll sit in my quiet place and just go, God, speak to me. I'm here, my heart is open. Is there anything in me that's not of you? This is my heart's desire. This is what I'm trusting you for. And it's this two-way communication. Prophecy, on the other hand, it's a communication between you and God and then others. So prayer and prophecy actually go hand in hand. If you're not a praying person, you're going to be a very dangerous person when it comes to prophecy, because you might not be prophesying what God wants people to prophesy over. Does that make any sense? And so prophecy has been quite a big part of my life. So when I was 15, I'm 45 now, so I don't know what year that was, 1938, I'm not that old. When I was 15 years old, I had just come back from a mission trip, and to be totally honest, because of a girl, I didn't go there for the right reasons, but while I was there, God really arrested my heart, and something shifted in me, like really, like massively, which actually has led me to me standing in front of you today. And when I got home, and I was in the Baptist church, so very conservative. We didn't believe in prophecy. We didn't really believe in the tongues or any of the gifts except for preaching and teaching, which is weird because that's part of the list of all the gifts. Anyways, 5 different people came to me that week, different people. Some were in my church, some weren't, as a 15-year-old, and gave me a scripture. And it was Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And if you're in Josh Jen for any amount of time or even 4:12, you would know it's Him who gave some to be apostles, preachers, teachers, evangelists, to equip the saints for works of service, that everybody would become mature, attaining to nothing. So that was when I was 15 in 1932 or whatever it was, 38. And so I'm 15 years old. I go study theology 4 years. I get a degree in theology. I finished 2003. I pastor for 10 years in the Baptist church. I come into Josh Jen through Will, my father-in-law, my past father-in-law, he's still my father-in-law, I suppose. Sorry, babes, it got a bit awkward. And then I'm having a really bad week. I'm leading Sunningdale at that time, Sunningdale PM. And I'm having a really bad time going, God, am I where you want me to be? It doesn't feel like my life means anything. I don't know if you've ever been in that place. Maybe it's just me. And the Lord drops, says, don't be a chop master. Because I'm not allowed to say other words. So don't be an idiot. I mean, what do you mean? It's like, I gave you a scripture when you're 15. Go read it. And I was like, what is the scripture? Oh, Ephesians. And then I read it. I'm like, no way. It's the very movement that God has put me in is the scripture they gave me when I was 15 years old to get my heart in line with where he wants me to do for the rest of my life. I didn't even know it was a prophetic thing until years later, many years later, 20 odd years later, going, no ways. God had already told me my future in a sense. Does it even make any sense? So like prophetic doesn't have to be scary. It actually reminds us and it confirms what God has already said and what he's already done. Another prophetic thing we actually got at the elders' camp Saturday evening was supposed to be a prophetic evening, but it didn't go that way. And one of the elders' wives actually gave us a prophetic word over Abby and I. This was like 3 weeks ago, and it's called All the Colors. And I'll just read it quickly. A paint palette came to mind with all the colors, but two or three colors were obviously preferred because we like our preferred colors and were most used in the palette. I feel like God is saying to you, he's going to take you into a season of using all the colors. There are gifts and wisdoms and godly attributes inside of you both that he hasn't brought into the season of using yet, but the season is coming now. It can be strange as an artist to be able to paint colors that you're not familiar with, but when I allow the colors and the paintings will be more vibrant, it appeals to vastly different audience, so to be enriched. It might feel strange at first, but God wants to expand your influence and vastly different audiences to his glory. God knows you and trusts the painter, so he wants you to have fun in all the colors, Proverbs 3 verses 5. And since that word, man, things have been opening up. I'm preaching three times today. This is my first preach. You guys are getting the best of me. The second preach, not so much. And the third preach, definitely not much. I'll be tired by then. But all of a sudden, two other congregations come into Pine. It's just wild how God is just confirming again what he wants to do. And so I just wanted to throw that out. Personally, prophetic and prayer has been a really big part of my life. And it's really enriched me and my family, actually. And so just to dispel all the problematic things that might come into our minds as we talk about prophetic. So the difference between Old Testament prophetic and New Testament prophetic, very quickly. Old Testament prophecy was authoritative. Remember, the God that we serve and the God that we read through Isaiah just now is a God who's always wanted to communicate to human beings, because he created us in his image. He breathed his life into us. And so he wants a relationship, not a religion. Does it make sense? So even in the garden, what did he do in the coolness of the night, the day? He walked with Adam and Eve and he spoke to them. He revealed himself to him. He told them what he wanted to do and what they couldn't do. There was this relationship from the beginning and it hasn't changed actually. So Old Testament, there was no Bible and there wasn't really the Holy Spirit. So the prophetic was very authoritative. So when a prophetic prophesied, it was, you should listen to this. Because if you don't listen to this, you're actually missing what God wanted to say. And so that's why their stonings happened if there were false prophets. It was a really, really dangerous gift to have, actually, for you and for the people that were hearing. Let's jump to New Testament. New Testament prophecy is no longer authoritative like in the Old Testament. Why? Because we have the Bible. God has really revealed to us through the Bible everything that he wants to do. And he's given the Holy Spirit to live in us to connect the Bible and his Spirit together so we can live a holy and godly life. So when people bring prophetic to us, it has some form of authority. And that is whether we receive it or not. It doesn't determine where we're going in God. It should actually go, God, I'm not running after you. What people are saying, I want to run after you. Does this fit in with the Bible? and with what the Spirit is saying in me and with what my leaders or my friends or those that are walking closely with me are saying about my life. And the problem that we find today is people aren't taught well on this. So people bring a prophetic word. They go, this is God. They take it upon it. It might not be God because we're just human. And there's flesh in us. And we might get it wrong sometimes. And what they do is they hold on to it as authoritative. And that's where chaos happens. That's where hurt happens. That's when fallout happens. And so as the prophetic words come just now, if it is encouraging you, building you up, take them. And we'll read some scriptures just to help with that. So in Amos 3 verses 7, indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans or his counsel to his servants through the prophets. That's Old Testament. So God's heart is, he wants to first tell what he wants to do. That's Old Testament in a nutshell. And so if you don't have the Word of God, like we have today, and you don't really have the Spirit is only falling on certain people, that was super important. And he doesn't do anything until he said, this is what he wants to do. New Testament is a little different. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 3 to 4, it says this, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. And consolation means to comfort or to give relief from grief. And so when a prophetic word comes in the New Testament, it should actually build you up. It should go, whoa, God is confirming and encouraging and building me up. And maybe I'm stressed right now. Maybe so much is happening. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. That's what the Bible's saying. For comforting them. So do you get the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Yeah, no, yeah, sorry. I'm trying to speak slowly because I know I'm English to Afrikaans. Hopefully I'm doing a good job. But I also get excited because, so. Oh, thank you, bro. Thank you. Oh, yeah, Buffett. Yeah, I like that, actually. That actually is probably happening. So if prophecy is still important and it's got to do with praying and it's still relevant for us today, then the next question that came to my mind was, who can prophesy? Because there are prophets and there are everyone else. And so the prophets are a special gift given by God, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So like Milani and Julie and even Leonie, Rob's wife, I consider as a prophet. But then everybody can actually prophesy because it's a spiritual gift. So we've got to differentiate with that. But you might be going, man, I'm not a prophet and I don't know if I can prophesy. Let me just read 1 John 1 verses 4 for us quickly. It's going to come up there. You're doing such a good job. 1 John 4 verse 1. So anyways, while we were looking for it, it says, dear friends, do not believe. Hold on. That's wrong. My bad. Where am I? I'm losing it. I know. No, hold on. Sorry. Where am I? Did I miss out scriptures? No, I did. Yeah, that's not encouraging. Yeah, I want encouragement. Let me just check. No wonder my notes are so short. I think I left that hole here. That is so exciting, guys. This is what happens when you're trying to prep three preachers in one go. Anyways. Oh, where is that scripture? Oh, Lord, help me remember. In 1 Corinthians 14. Man, I must have it here. There we go. Okay, sorry. 1 Corinthians 14, 24-25 says this. But if all of you are prophesying. So who can prophesy? If all of you are prophesying. And he's speaking to the church now. And unbelievers or people don't understand these things. Come into your meetings. They will be convinced of sin. And they will be condemned by what you say. That's actually quite encouraging if you're not an unbeliever. As they listen, verse 25, as they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed and they will fall to their knees and worship God, declaring, God is truly here among you. And so the point here is every single one of us can prophesy. Every one of us. Oh, that's scary. And if you've come from a very conservative background, that is going to be super uncomfortable for you. Super uncomfortable. But there are other scriptures. I found a whole bunch. I had to cut out for time's sake because I didn't want to preach too much. It's like we can all have spiritual gifts. We can all prophesy if we're praying and hearing the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. And so when it comes to propheticness and prophetic words, we can get it wrong. And there's three ways we can get it wrong. And I want to highlight these things, not to make us afraid, but to make us aware that this is still a very weighty thing to do. And so we can get it wrong because we can speak from ourselves. And that's happened before. Like I've spoken things that were in my heart, not necessarily for the people, because I wanted to look cool, or I wanted, I don't know, because I was just having a, yeah. And that's a very dangerous thing, because it's not what God wants to say. So that can happen, because we're just people. And remember, we only prophesy in parts. We only see in parts. We don't know everything. And so there is a possibility we can get this thing wrong. The second way that we can get it wrong is we can speak the desires of the person that we're seeing's heart. What does that mean? I can discern things. So even just looking around worship, I was like, Lord, interesting. Yeah. I can pick up the spirit of people and some things that are going on in you. And it's part of that word of knowledge thing, I think, that God has given me. And so what happens is we can prophesy, and I can look at Junior, and I can see what's in his heart. And instead of it being God wanting to tell you, you're actually seeing what he's desiring. And remember this. This is the challenge. What God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And it can be a very dangerous thing when we prophesy what the person wants, because the Lord's anger actually is worked out in this way. What people want and what God wants is often very different, but there's a point that God gets to where he goes, okay, I'm just going to give you what you want. And when that happens, chamos happens. Can I say that word? Am I allowed to? I don't know if it's a bad word or not. Now that I think about it. Sure. Okay, good word. Good word. It just came out. My inner Afrikaans is coming out. And so, yeah, but sometimes I say the wrong words and I get into trouble. I get horrible emails on a Monday morning. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, I promise. And so we see this, like when Israel wanted a king, for instance. God's like, no, I'm your king. No, we want a king like all the other people have a king. Okay, I'll give you a king, but that means he's going to take your ladies and he's going to take your livestock and he's going to take your money and he's going to mess up and he's going to cause you to fall into craziness. And God's anger comes on the people because they get what they want. Romans 1, which in like 30-something countries, you're not allowed to preach anymore. He gave them over to their sinful desires. And because of that, they didn't give glory to God, and they fell into really, really, really demonic and bad things. And so when we prophesy, we've got to be very careful. It shouldn't come from us, and it shouldn't be going, that's in your heart. God wants you to have that, because that's a very, very dangerous place to be. And then the third thing that we can get it wrong on is the demonic can speak on our behalf. I know, it's terrible. And that's why 1 John 4 verses 1 is going to come on the screen now. Dear friends, do not believe anyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Please, I'm not saying this to make us afraid. I'm saying this to be aware, because the prophetic is still amazing. And God still wants to speak and encourage and build up. But we do get it wrong sometimes. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit that claims to be a spirit. You must test them to see if the spirit that they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. And I think that's exactly what's happening. People in our world today, people that haven't been trained well, they don't know their Bible well, they're getting stuck in a religious system, they're not praying well, they're not spending time in the Word well, they're not allowing the Spirit of God to cultivate them. And when these false prophets come, they give them hope that isn't God's hope. And the wheels fall off the bus. And then we have a church that looks really, really bad. But not for us. Because we desire the Lord. And we want to love Him. And we want to live for Him. So as I close, I know that was very short. Eh? Actually, how many minutes was that? That's actually not too bad. Okay, it's much longer than I thought. Sorry about that. I just got it carried away. No, it's actually not too bad. I'm all over the place today. So for us listening, there's been some words that came through the week that I think is for the whole congregation. We're going to release those. Rudy has one of them. I think Andre has one to back it up. Louise had an amazing word. I think that's a global, like a global word in the sense of it's for everybody. And then what we want to do is we want to open up to individual prophetic words as well and just see what God does and how he moves. But before we get there, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Corinthians 14, a few things. So 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 20 to 21, he writes this. Oh, that's a nice translation. Do not scoff at prophecies. Or in another translation, it says, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. And listen to this. And hold on to what is good. And so what might happen today is you might hear the word speaking and then be like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But then something might happen. Like that vase that was cracked. I think it's for more than one person here. I do. When it came out, I was like, one person? That's interesting. So what might be happening is you're like, I don't want to be exposed. I don't want people to think that I'm cracked. Can I just say this? We're all broken and cracked. All of us are falling short of the glory of God. None of us have arrived, ever. Like, we're never going to arrive until we see him face to face. And then we'll be made perfect. But until then, actually, I'm struggling with stuff inside. And I'm fighting every day. So you're like, God, I need you. And Abby's helping me because she's a great wife. But like beating me down. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't beat me. And so let's don't despise it. And if there's weird stuff that comes, just let it fall, man. Like, whatever. But if there's good stuff, hold on to that. Let it encourage, build up, and edify us. Does it make sense? Are you guys getting nervous? I think you might be. Some of you might be. That's exciting. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 1 says this, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may, you guys got to say it, Paul, the greatest apostle that lived in the New Testament, is writing that to the church of Corinthians. And every single person that's come from Pioneers PM, the combined thing, the Pioneers Central and whatever, what are we calling us? I don't even know. Transitional something. They've given up their morning to drive all the way out here. Why? Because they love you. And they love what God is doing here in Malmesbury. And they want to be a part of this thing. And they want to be a part of encouraging you and building you up. How cool is that? Like, and so, like, pursue love, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. I desire gifts that I don't have. I do, because I want to be most effective for what God wants. Do you? Like, I'm excited about it, but do you? I can't do that for you. God has to do that for you, and you need to do that for you by going, God, here I am. Use me. Even if it's weird and it's blowing my brain. Oh, I want to be used by you. Think about this. God used the donkey, guys, to speak to somebody. That's weird. Think about it. He used Israel because they were the most insignificant, despicable people that he knew would just do their own thing. That's why he said, if you go read the Bible, I'm choosing you not because you're great, because you actually really suck badly. And I want to use the weakest amongst you to bring my glory to the nations. Wow. God is like, blows your mind. Anyways, last scripture, and then we'll get into what I want to do. 1 Corinthians 14:39. So, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. What is that? Be eager. What's the word in Afrikaans? Eager. Like, gereegig. Gereegig. How do you do that? But I need water now. Be eager. I'm eager to prophesy. Well, I'm more words of knowledge guy. I'm not really but I'm eager this morning. But my problem is God never gives me the beforehand. It's always on the spot, which is very scary. Like some of the other guys that are really, he knew it on Tuesday already, which is amazing. Like, thank you, Lord. Give me that gift. Be eager to prophesy. And don't forbid speaking in tongues. Again, you see the prophetic and the praying together. Does it make sense? So short and sweet. Thank you. So prophecy is from God's heart. Prayer is from God's heart. He wants to encourage us this morning. He wants to maybe even start a fire that burns in us in a different way, maybe. He wants to maybe bring some to repentance. He wants to mend some. But when we walk out of these doors, what my biggest hope is this, is that we are all feel encouraged and even maybe a little bit stretched beyond what we were when we came in. So can we pray? And then I don't know how it's going to work. I'm just being honest. I don't know how this is going to go down. Hopefully I get invited back one day if it doesn't go too badly, because you guys are amazing. But let's just pray and let's just ask the Spirit to move and the Spirit to do what He wants to do. And then just be patient with us. We've still got a bit of time. Just be patient with us just to figure out what He wants to do and how He wants to do it. Because I'm willing to throw all what we've planned out the door for Him to move. So Father, thank You for what's already happened this morning. Through the worship time, You already started to move in us prophetically. And Lord, we do love You. We love each other. And Lord, we're not here for You, for ourselves. We're not here for what we want. We're not here for the flesh. We want what You want this morning. We are eagerly desiring Your Spirit to come and fall upon us afresh this morning. Lord, I believe You don't want us to be a part of a religion. You want us to be a part of a relationship where You are living and active amongst us. Lord, where You speak to us, where we obey You, and in obedience, we come into the more of what You've called us to. Your word says that if we love You, we'll obey Your commandments. So Lord, if You don't move today, it's going to be so bad. But if You do, God, You're going to build us up even stronger than we were before we came here this morning. So have Your way. Move amongst us, Lord. Love You, Father.